Hello, welcome to episode 44 of the Thundercast. On today's show, we're going to be talking about our most anticipated games of 2014. I'm Matthew Sorry, and joining me today, I have Shane Ryan.
Hello.
And Calvin Kemp.
Hey.
Okay guys, so we are in a new year, a whole new year now, which means that we have a whole new release schedule to look forward to, a whole swath of new games that are going to come out in 2014 to look forward to. So on this podcast, we're going to talk about those games that we're looking forward to this year, specifically as individuals. So let's do a roundtable-based format. We'll take it in turns, pick a game that we're looking forward to, and we'll see how many we can get to. So I'll kick things off by talking about my most anticipated game for this year, which is Dark Souls 2. I don't think there's any surprise there for anyone who's ever listened to this podcast before. Super excited about Dark Souls 2. I'm also a little bit trepidatious about being so excited about Dark Souls 2, because I think part of the reason why I like Dark Souls 1 so much was that I didn't know much about it before I went into it, and it was also surprising and also new. So I have really high expectations for Dark Souls 2, but I'm a bit worried that they're not going to be met.
It's the first time they've really had a build up to one of their games. Demon's Souls was like a cult hit, and then Dark Souls maybe it came a little bit after, and there was a huge build up. But right now, first time going in, we know a lot right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's such a huge fan base behind Dark Souls who really love that game and really know everything about that game. Whereas you're right, Demon's Souls had a cult following, but it wasn't widespread.
Yeah.
So there's so much focus on Dark Souls 2, and I think what also worries me a little bit as well is I've played the demo for Dark Souls 2 and I was involved in the beta, and it does feel very Dark Souls-y, and I haven't seen anything there that really shocked me or surprised me. It felt like more of the same, which is a great thing, and I'm still looking forward to playing more of the same if that's what it is.
Right.
But I just really, I want something to surprise me in the way that the original Dark Souls did.
So you think it's going to be more of the same? It might dilute the overall thing for you?
Yeah, I get that impression that it is going to be more of the same. But then again, I'm taking that impression from the small snippets that I've seen so far, because they were basically more of the same. Some slight changes, some changes to how the combat works and things like that. But I haven't seen anything that's really incredibly deep, a deep change to the gameplay, which I wasn't expecting really. But I just want something to surprise me.
Hold on, this is what you're most excited about?
This is what I'm most excited about. That probably shows how much I enjoy Dark Souls. Even though I've got all of these concerns and worries about it, I am still most looking forward to playing Dark Souls 2.
That's understandable.
So what do you think, what do you expect to be, or what, when you played it, what were the best bits that jumped out? Was it more of the same? Or did it seem more
Dark
polished?
Souls. When I've played Dark Souls 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems like more of the same, but more polished. And if you take, for example, the Mirror Knight that formed part of the demo that we played at Eurogamer Expo later on last year. that felt very much like a typical Dark Souls boss. I mean, it had the quirky thing where another enemy would come out of the Mirror Knight shield. So the Mirror Knight is this big knight. It's kind of like made of white gold armor, if you will. And he sticks his sword in the air, takes electricity through his sword, and he swipes at you. He's also got this big shield as well, which he puts down on the ground every now and then, and he'll call someone into the battlefield to help him. And apparently in the final game, that's not going to be an AI partner, that's going to be a player-controlled person. But that sounds really cool. That's something you don't see in many other games. I haven't seen that before in any other game, really, apart from Demon's Soul, in which there is a boss character in Demon's Soul who can be controlled by another person. So it is kind of like a PvP fight in the end. So it seems like I've already seen that before. It's pretty cool, and they've mixed it up, and they're doing it in a slightly different way, but it does feel like something I've already seen before, and I'm a bit worried that the entire game's just going to be that they'll be quite cautious about the changes they make, purely because of how popular Dark Souls has become.
Did you think they'll take... Because the first game, if you think about it, was From Software are renowned for doing things that would be considered quite risky. From Demon's Souls, they went to Dark Souls, which is quite, which is a change, but it kept that kind of difficulty level. And then They never believed it would be the hit it was. It's kind of exploded. And it's not got the creative director of the first one on it. And do you think this would be kind of just the... Would safe be the right word to use, do you think?
I suppose that safe is the impression that I've got from what I've played so far. But then again, maybe that's just the way that they're orchestrating things. And they've got loads of surprises in the background. That's what I really hope. But anyway, we'll move on from Dark Souls because we've got so many other games to talk about now. But yeah, definitely looking forward to that. Either of you guys looking forward to Dark Souls 2?
Sure.
Yeah. I never played the first one. I got really far into it and then put the controller down, played something else, and when I came back, I was just like, oh god, this is just so hard. It's one of those things where I think you feel you just have to... You can't go away and get distracted because it resets your kind of difficulty level to... The standard, and then you come back and get your ass handed to you, and it's like starting all over again, but everything's way harder. And I was like, right, if I need to do this, I'm going to start again. And then Dark Souls 2 got announced, and I was like, well, I'll just wait for it to come out on PC, and I'll pick up fresh that way.
Yeah, for me, it's more of a game that I respect. I don't really care to play it. It's not that fun for me, you know, but I can respect it from a distance, and I'll probably play the second one. I'd probably not go finish it or anything, but... You know, I can look at that from a distance and say, these guys are doing something different. And they're thinking ahead, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're bringing Japan back into the, into the West. And that's
I think
that
their online components and the way that they bled in people not knowing when you're going to be joining games and how you can help or kind of, as I said, like play versus play arenas where someone jump in and try and kill you to get the bonus from it. That is bled into so many other games now. Massively.
You see that, don't you? You see that
everything,
games are announced, like even something like Ubisoft's The Division. Like, I'm trying to think of other examples. There's loads of other
everything.
Examples,
yeah, that's coming out now has some online component where people walking around will be other people, and
yeah,
I guess they're way ahead of the curve on that.
Every indie game's also just become Dark Souls. I mean, you could see the influence in designers. Yeah. You could see who played it. You know, you could look at one game and say, okay, I see where these guys got these ideas.
Yeah, like roguelike elements are becoming so popular.
Yeah.
Mm.
Cool. Okay, so let's move round the table. I'll throw this over to Calvin. Calvin, what is your most anticipated, or one of your most anticipated games of 2014?
Well, I have to go with Evil Within. I mean, I loved Vanquish. I love pretty much everything Mikami's done. So, I mostly just want him to get back, do a true survival horror, and kind of bring that back into the space where bigger guys could do it. I mean, I guess Naughty Dog just did that, but I feel like it's a time for him to come back, and I think he has a lot to add. I think those old games, they still have a value, like in the if you go play Resident Evil Remake, it has values that aren't here anymore, you know. There were good things that should have been carried on, but they're also obtuse, and he's good about bringing new mechanics in and finding new ways to explore ideas. So I'm very excited about that.
One thing that definitely doesn't seem is rushed. It seems like it was announced a while ago and they've been left to take the time. Well, I mean, clearly behind scenes will be people trying to get things done, but it doesn't feel that it's been rushed out like it came. Like I would have expected it to come out early, like later last year, like October, November. But it's great that they seem to have had that space for him
That's
to get
another
it right.
Thing. Is pretty much all of his games, they feel so complete within themselves, you know. He's not going to put out a half-finished game like everyone else is going to do right now, you know. Everyone else is just going to put their game out in beta, but, you know, I have a faith that it'll be complete, and Vanquish is probably the most complete game I've played from last gen. Like, from a generation where everything's just getting patched in later, this is a game that no further work is needed. It's all done, and I can respect that.
Is this being developed by Platinum, then?
No, it's Mikami's new studio, Tango.
Oh, right. Okay, yes, right.
And,
very good.
Yeah, I guess they're going to get a lot of input from Bethesda, and I don't know.
I'm sure they'll get all their back-end kind of QA support and everything, which is probably why they're getting the time, because they don't have to worry about that as much when they've got that support.
Well, I guess that's also why I'm excited, because he's never had that kind of production behind him. He's never had someone that can make Skyrim put out a game for him, you know. He always had, like, these low-end nobody really expected Vanquish to sell, but they just put it out because it was a big risk, and that's what Sega still does. But I think with Bethesda behind him, he could put out something amazing.
I'm looking forward to a action horror kind of hybrid that is actually scary, and I hope it is actually quite terrifying.
Oh yeah,
because I like the only other things out there like Dead Space and Resident Evil that really fill that that category out, and both of them has just kind of lent towards pure action in their most recent releases.
Have you played Shadows of the Dam?
No, I haven't actually. No,
it was just way stylish. It was Mikami's old style of game. Collaboration.
Yeah.
And, that's kind of what I'm hoping for. Maybe a more serious version of that, of course, but, no taste my boner quotes or anything.
Yeah, the dialogue on that is off its rocker.
If that came up in Evil Within, it would feel a little bit out of place. I think. Maybe he should put it in somewhere that, just have like a little reference, like this one area where you're just stuck shooting this gun, just throw back. I feel like that game was way underappreciated. Like the more
I enjoyed that game.
I mean, it was like a throwback to all of Capcom's good ideas. It was like it was
Capcom
and
had
Ghosts.
Some good ideas.
And Resident Evil. Two of my favorite Capcom things. So it was like those melded into one, and it was like all the creativity from the past, from like Killer 7, and I don't know. I loved everything about it. I think I gave it a 9 on the set.
He had a lot of energy that I would probably put more into kind of sloppy Japanese punk and the like late 90s, early 2000s kind of horror cinema that came out of Japan with stuff like Wild Zero and all these kind of over stylish stuff where it's kind of, there's a plot there, but consistency is second to doing something absolutely ridiculous. And that game definitely felt like that, especially with the way it just keeps getting daft. You'll get to one point where they'll make a joke, and then later we'll come back to it and just do it by times 10 to the point where the boner joke just becomes, it carries on so much it becomes funny again.
Yeah. Alright guys, I'm going to cut you short there and move this over to Shane to talk about his game.
Well, I started with none, and in the past 5 minutes I thought of four, so
there was nothing that excited you coming out of Dreaded
Bolting. I was thinking back, and following on from what Calvin's just said, I'm going to go with the new Wolfenstein.
Oh, okay.
So, right. From now, playing this... Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, I remember you enjoying this at Eurogamer.
Yep, I went back and played it twice. That was, to be fair, that was partially because I got told not to turn the difficulty up, and I did the first time. It was really hard. So I went back on normal to try and get past the first part. But it was... The guns felt great. And you can double-weld everything, dual-weld. So shotguns, doesn't make any sense. Rocket launchers, yeah, everything, dual-weld that. And it feels, it's got that... When you see weighty controls, that can sometimes be used because the controls aren't very refined. But I would say it was closer to something like Condemned or in movement, like, for example, the last Duke Nukem game, that had quite a good feel to the overall character when it moved. And it has that same sort of sense. It's like, it feels very much like a PC developer.
It feels like Duke Nukem Forever, is that what you're saying?
The character movement. And that kind of, the whole chunkiness to it, where you don't feel like a camera floating about.
Yeah. So it doesn't seem like they've tried to go for that whole making it feel like a human, or humans can only hold this many guns, super realistic. Does it feel more like an old school kind of shooter, like a Quake, or an old school Doom?
It's slap bang in the boat, between both. So it feels like they've built them out. So it's like Condemned, where it moves a bit. You can run all the time, but it's kind of got that overall feeling like you're actually within a character, but you can just run around and strafe and blow everything up. And I played one section a few times where you come into like a hall, and there's like these different stairwells that you can go up and down, and you can kick in doors as you kind of have this big fight against the Nazis who have gone to the moon and everything. And three times I played it, the enemies came up the stairs in different ways every time. So, and that was just, for me, that was such a breath of fresh air nowadays. Like, from playing like the last Call of Duty campaign, which was just a shambles. But that is just, you know what's going to happen. You walk forward and you have to reach a certain point to stop it, and they just pile in, or you can walk up to somebody and they'll be stood there hiding behind a desk, totally ignoring the fact you stood next to them, because their AI doesn't react to you in any way. It's just pre-programmed off. So what people generally do.
That was the first thing I checked out at PAX. Right when I came in there, I saw that game. I it was probably one of the most interesting things I actually played. I mean, I knew I'd love Titanfall or whatever, but you know, I didn't expect so much to get so much out of Wolfenstein. Like, I was pretty cynical going in, you know. Oh, they're making this old school game I used to love, but it's true. It's different from Call of Duty in that you're not running a straight line. Like, I had one moment where I came behind a barricade and there was like an opening in the wall and you could just pop guys off from in there, or you could go stealthy, or, you know, there were like four different options I could see from this one point on how to approach this.
Definitely. And what you know, what you might find is that if a game does that now, it'll try and be proud of it and tell you about the fact, and it makes it too obvious. Because there'll be an obvious path that you can go around to the side, and it's kind of detailed so you can do that. Whereas in this, it just felt like they'd built the environments, and then from it within, the AI would react. But no, it was just the dumbest of fun in the best possible way. And I could do with a bit of that this year, so that's definitely on the list.
Something a bit more lighthearted.
Hmm.
Okay. Very good. Okay, so back round to me. My next game on my list... See, I've got a huge list, and I'm not sure what to focus on and what to talk about, because I don't want to talk about just all the games that I wrote up for our 2014 preview, or most anticipated of 2014 feature. So I'm going to go with something that I didn't write about there and talk about a game called The Forest, which is an independently developed survival horror simulation type game set in a forest. I honestly don't know that much about the game. I know it's been developed by some people called End Night Games, a company called End Night Games. I think they're relatively small.
Yeah, it's the first thing they've done, isn't it?
I understand, but like I say, I honestly don't know that much. I've seen two different trailers for the game. So it looks like a first-person open world, maybe randomly generated. I get the impression that the forests are randomly generated, but open world survival simulator. And both of the trailers that I've seen have kind of followed the same, I don't know, like tonal change and structure, where they show you surviving in this forest as a person. No explanation about who you are or how you got there. But basically, you're in this forest, you're harvesting things, so you're chopping down trees and harvesting plants or whatever. There are animals around, maybe you have to harvest those, and I can see you building fires and things like that to survive, and maybe building a house. And then both the trailers that I've seen kind of change tonally three quarters of the way through, maybe halfway through. And okay, it kind of turns into this survival horror type game, and these weird people seem very strange humanoid like people come out of the forest and start attacking you at night. And it seems like there's going to be this interesting change between day purely being about surviving and then night being about surviving these people and their attacks. And it just looks super polished for an independently developed game. It looks incredible. It's one of the most graphically impressive games I've seen, if the trailer turns out to be true. And it looks incredible. I think it's PC only at the moment, and it really looks like it's taking advantage of that. And it just looks like an interesting concept. I haven't seen anything else that's kind of like this, and it sounds like a combination that I will quite enjoy: survival simulator and open world horror game.
Although it doesn't maybe look like it, from if I just took the description of what you just gave, it sounds like Minecraft.
It seems like a very realistic Minecraft.
Okay.
Well, it's also like the most Canadian game I've ever seen. That's the one where it's like a lumberjack simulator at the start, right?
Yeah, the trailer it really just kinda, looked like that, yeah.
Then the trailer kind of swerves off and then it becomes like this horror thing, and, you know, I mean, that's...
It's that happens in Canada at night.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like a lumberjack simulator during the day. Yeah. Then okay. Survival horror. But,
those creatures
know,
from the hole.
My only problem with it is it doesn't have any sound design. Like, when it shows them hitting a guy, there's nothing there, you know?
Yeah, well, it's obviously still in development, so hopefully all of that stuff will come.
I just need sound with horror. That's all I really want, you know.
Sound is a huge part of horror. But if you look at the website, you look at the about page, it talks about it being an open world, about the freedom that you've got, and about how it is this survival simulator. But then it also has this added thing: it's like fight or die, or fight or hide. Sorry. So it sounds like there's going to be some stealth element in there, possibly, or it really sounds like you're going to be able to play it whatever way you want. And okay, this is the kind of game where I really want to have a media blackout from now until when it comes out, because I really don't want to know anything about how it plays. I just want to discover it for myself. I want it to be this unknown thing.
Have they said whether it's going to have an end game to it then?
I have no idea about anything.
Right, okay.
To do with that. Yeah, so hopefully it's again. See, there's going to be a common theme with all of mine. Like, I hope games come out this year that surprise me, and games come out where I'm doing things or experiencing things that I haven't done before or that I'm not expecting.
I think because we haven't got the tech excuse, or things, PC ports are held, PC games are held back because of console ports, or consoles are holding this back, or this because of this, because it feels like there's no level of excuse now that maybe this should be the year where someone comes out and goes, right, have a bit of this.
We'll see. An entire simulated universe for you to explore.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We've been working on this for 10 years. We've just announced it last week. It's out tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, Half-Life 3, that kind of thing.
So it kind of reminded me of that Forest kind of reminded me of that Epic game. Is that still in development? Whatever that Minecraft?
Fortnite. Was it called Fortnite?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so that the Fortnite and the Epic game, that kind of looks like, I don't know, maybe harvest things and put them back together and create new things and build your own bases and defenses and things like that. So yeah, I think this is going to be a trend that we see in games this year. This whole like
the
harvesting.
Year of adult Lego.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the year of adult Lego.
Well,
as 2014 will be known.
My only concern with these games is they're never finished, like a DayZ or Minecraft. Like they're not. You can't finish those games, you know. Like, they don't have to be. They're better off if they're not. But I can never find the point where I should come in and play DayZ, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's a very hard thing to balance when your design is so open and your design is so, I don't know, changeable, depending upon how someone's playing it.
Minecraft offers a lot of elements and kind of general ideas that I want to see implemented as a standard in games, but I don't want to see that genre just become something that gets milked to death. And that become the standard, because it's like the amount of MMOs we had and the amount of MOBAs we're about to get.
Yeah.
It's what, obviously, you have a success, everyone's going to try and get a piece of that as quickly as possible.
Oh, it's already so milked.
It happens
with everything.
Already.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's quite that far yet. Oh,
no, sure it is. Xbox Live indie thing. Fuck me. Yeah.
Well, maybe it's because I put myself through that punishment. I went through all those indie games and, you know, I probably played about 200 Minecraft clones. But it's just as popular as Call of Duty, so it should be just as influential, right?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, then, let's pass it over again. Back to you, Calvin.
Oh, back to me.
That was it. You're only excited about The Evil Within.
No, I was just pissed off about Minecraft. Hold on. No. I'm very excited about Wolf Among Us still. I guess that needs to be in. Because that was the most exciting thing I played last year, so why not this year?
Definitely. Yeah. Well, it's going to be this year, really, because that's more just a pilot episode for what we're hopefully going to get the rest of it this year, depending on when they decide to schedule it all, because they've got so much on the plate. But the first episode was great.
I'm so worried with Telltale. Like, I feel like they put together like really good first seasons, first episodes, but then I come back like with Walking Dead and it kind of cheapens what I had before. Like, I don't really care anymore.
Yeah, where's the buzz about Walking Dead Series 2? I've just not bought it, and I don't know why. Because I used to book nights out and tell everyone, right, I'm not doing anything tonight. Don't phone me, don't call me, I'm not coming out. Because the new episode would be out of the first season. And I got that was, you know, quite an addiction, because I've loved that first series. But the second one's come out, and I'm just like, yeah.
Yeah, there hasn't been that much fanfare. Maybe not as much as you would expect for something that was so popular in the year it came out.
Right.
But yeah, it's been well received. I mean, I quite enjoyed the first episode of the second season.
It seems weird having it out at the same time as Wolf Among Us, when Wolf Among Us is just it's a totally different setting and characters, and I think that's much stronger than just.
I do get the impression that Telltale have a hell of a lot on their plate this year with both of these games, as well as the Borderlands game and the Game of Thrones game.
So here's
that's
my
four different games that are being developed simultaneously. Mm.
Here's my concern, though. Like, once they get to the next series, are they just going to kind of, you know, is there not going to be buzz for the second season of Wolf Among Us? Is it going to be the same deal as with Walking Dead, where they kind of just, you know, put this to the side and maybe they don't carry through on everything? But
I am a bit worried that they're going to milk their formula too much, because Wolf Among Us definitely is the same formula, essentially, as the first season of The Walking Dead. I'm a bit worried by the time we get to the end of the Borderlands game and the end of the Game of Thrones game that it's kind of have lost its effectiveness.
It's not like that it's been effective forever. It's only been effective for the last year. I mean, they had Jurassic Park and
Back to the Future.
Yeah. These are pretty much exceptions, but they're so fucking good that I just want more.
Right. Give now, me more Sam and Max. That's the deal.
Give
you might be busy,
game.
But be busier with some of that.
Put that on top.
Yeah. And everything will be alright then, I'll balance it out.
Or at least have them cameo in something.
To go back to the positives, Wolf Among Us, the first episode, was so good, and it's when I first started it up, the episode playing, and that kind of John Carpenter-esque set, like synth score started playing, and I just sat there, I had a cup of coffee and just let the song play. It's so good, and that never hardly happens with video games. Well, it doesn't happen with films much, but it was just such a good piece of music, and then the tone and the way they used the purples and the neons, I was just like, yeah, this is great.
It just worked, didn't it?
It was,
For me, Wolf
Among Us. It's really them like finding their style to match mechanics. It's everything just works out in that. It's a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's promising to be.
And it seemed less obvious we talked about this previously, but it seemed less obvious in its choices, where it wasn't just, do you like me or don't you? It seemed more like, are you going to be a massive arse or just a bit of an arse?
Yeah.
And then the person you talk to is an arse. So they're probably going to be more of an arse with you if you're not more of an arse. But if you're more of an arse, then they might be a bit of an arse later on.
Yeah.
That's kind of the options this time. It felt much better to be in that grey area all the time.
I do like that, because so many of these games that give you the illusion of choice, like something like a Fable, every choice is kind of like a dichotomy of good and evil. Like that's how Fable always felt to me. It felt like, here's the evil choice and here's the good choice.
It's either pet the dog or kick it.
And it's and it's kind of like, it's not reflective of the real world. The real world doesn't work like that. The real world works in shades of grey, and I kind of find that more interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Wolf Among Us is more like, are you going to rip this guy's fucking arm off, or how else are you going to kill him? Right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's brutal.
I'll break his leg.
Yeah. Rip his arm off, or rip his arm off and beat him to death with it. What's the choice?
Come on.
That
was good. But
how much of a shit has?
But the schedule thing is weird. I thought, I mean, when did that come out? October, November?
Wolf Among Us, I think was it October?
It's been about 4 months or so.
Oh, man. Yeah, that seems
See, they
like
have
a long
announced
time.
The next one for February, haven't they?
Yeah.
The next episode of Wolf Among Us.
I mean, would you be happy with 4 to 5 months an episode?
Not
a long
really.
It feels like it should be every month. If you're buying a season pass and it's episodic, and you're going to have other seasons in between. I don't know. It seems odd not to have it scheduled out.
Well, I mean, it must have been out of their control. Like, you know, if they must have wanted to have it regular, because that gets them more money, probably, if it's consistent. I mean,
I think I read something recently, which might have been an interview with someone who works at Telltale, and I think he was saying that they've had some issues with the development of The Wolf Among Us, and that's why it's taken so long to get out.
Oh, right.
So hopefully that doesn't affect everything else down the line. But
I know they had some people leave. I think one of the lead writers left to form his own indie team recently. So I don't know if maybe some of that's happened. It's knocked everything back. But if it's the same standard as the first episode, we're on to a winner for that for this year.
Oh, absolutely. One of the strongest openings I've seen in the game, episodic or otherwise.
Yes, definitely.
Looking strong.
Cool. Okay, so let's pass it on from The Wolf Among Us over to you, Shane. What's your next pick?
I'm gonna talk about this one just because I'm not gonna believe it exists until I actually hold the disc in my hands. So this is something I showed you before, which is a beat 'em up called Def Cargo. So
right.
This is not being made by a video game company. This is being made by a film production company, an Italian one that releases kind of over the top CGI splatter films. So the influences is kind of like old 80s VHS and anime. So when someone gets shot or punched, there's just greens and purples and blues flying everywhere. I've seen two of the films they've done. The latest one wasn't very good, but the first one was hammy, but pretty fun, to be honest. It's called Adam Chaplin, which is about a guy who walks around with his top off, ripped, and basically it's like Fist of the North Star, essentially. But that's with a weird demon thing on his shoulder. But they've decided to do a beat-em-up, which looks like the first Mortal Kombat, where it's all digital, it's all like filmed characters and stuff, and all digitalized backgrounds, and it just looks very similar in the way it plays, with limited amount of moves, on purpose, it seems. And then everything at the end is there's just an obscene amount of fatalities and stage fatalities, and there's no internet play, they want it to be local only, and it, it just seems like an oddity in the best possible way. Will it be any good? I don't really care. I just want to play it, and I'm just glad to see it exists.
You think it'll be the kind of thing that you'll enjoy just for like novelty value?
I think I'll buy it, and I just want to see, because all the fatalities are fully recorded things, so it kind of, when it gets to the end of the match, the screen, the background drops, and rather than having to do like a button combination, they said basically it's more of like a button mash thing, like Test Your Might, so you have to hammer the buttons as quick as possible to build up a meter, and then it cuts to one of the fatalities, and then it's like a real acted kind of fatality, like one is where he just picks somebody up and throws them so hard that the skeleton flies out of the skin against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. So Daft, which seems to be a running thing with the two I've talked about, but I think that's out in March, mm-hmm. if it ever comes out.
Okay.
But I'll give that one a go. For my next pick, I'll go with something that I know is going to be good, but I'll save that for later.
Right, okay.
So, Kelvin, what were you going to say?
So they have like a old demo out for, what, a couple of years on that? I feel like I haven't seen progress on it, but I think it's a fun concept, the death card.
Yeah, it seems to have been developed for years. They did a demo that came out that was really limited.
Yeah.
And then they got loads of people were, so I think some people came back saying, no, it's a bit stiff acting, doesn't really work. And then they just said, right, we're going silent for a year and a half on it. And said that they wanted it to be 60 frames a second and smooth as possible. So they've just released it. I've just seen that they've released saying it is coming out. Well, again, I won't believe when I see it, but they've halved the number of playable characters. But they've said that all the DLC is going to be free, and they've decided that as long as people are buying it, they're just going to keep releasing characters that you can download for free.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure how they're actually going to distribute that or how it's going to work, but again, that's something that's quite unique.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
So yeah, that's Def Cargo.
Well, it's an interesting choice.
Yep.
Unusual choice, but it sounds like something that could have, could be quite fun. Which isn't something that's very common among his choices. Okay, so back to me. My next choice. I was actually going to choose Telltale Games Is Games, but we've kind of talked about them already. So for my next choice, what should I go with? Super Smash Brothers on the Wii U.
Yes.
Super excited about this. Kind of for the same reason that you're picking all of your choices, Shane, because it's that kind of like old school fun. Mm-hmm. It seems to be far more rare these days than it used to be. Maybe that's just because I'm getting older. Maybe it's because games have changed. Who knows? But yeah, I've always loved the Smash Brothers formula. I was addicted to Smash Brothers Melee on the GameCube. That was such an amazing game. Incredible game. One of my favorite games ever. And the whole promise of having Smash Brothers Online that works, because obviously Smash Brothers Brawl had online, but I could never get it to work properly. Having Smash Bros. Online that works, that I can play with friends, just absolutely fantastic. Can't wait, absolutely cannot wait. I'm not expecting it to be too different, not expecting that many changes on the old Smash Bros. Formula. I think it will just be more of the same. Obviously, they'll make some new stages, and they'll have some new crazy things that happen in those, and they'll have some new characters. They've got to have some new characters. But I don't really care about any of that. I just care about the online mode, and the online mode working. If it does, fantastic. Hours and hours and hours of fun.
So I don't have a Wii U.
Mm-hmm. But you got to get one for Smash Brothers.
See, I thought about Mario, but I just can't justify buying a new console with the stuff I've got at the moment. but it's coming out for the 3DS, which I do own.
All right.
But there is, apparently the 3DS version is going to be different, but I can't really find any concrete details on why or how. Because they've not said it's scaled back or that there won't be as much. They've actually just said it's different. So whether there's a separate team working on it, I don't know.
The only thing that I've seen that's different about the 3DS version so far is the graphics. Graphically, it looks...
That's what I thought from the screenshots.
Slightly less impressive, but...
Just some of the stuff they said, I've been like, well, what do you mean by different? Do you mean it's... Maybe they just mean it's just going to be shipped with half the content.
It'll probably have 3D in it.
Maybe.
you might be able to hit people out towards the screen this time.
I hope so.
Not just on the x-axis to the sides.
That's kind of how it
z-axis
works, like,
towards
right?
your
like
face.
If you hit them hard enough and they were on like high enough percentage, they'd like slam against the screen.
That did happen, didn't it?
On the GameCube one, they just shot off into basically a star, just go flying.
Yeah, so super excited about that. I'm just so excited about being able to play multiplayer with some friends who I don't live near.
Are you going to be able to get a local session on it. You're going to get a lot of people around for the whole for launch weekend.
Yeah, see, I don't live around. I don't live around that many old friends who play games anymore. So it's that's why I'm so excited about the online mode, really, because I want to play this with people who live quite far away. So yeah, awesome.
Okay.
So it's making you consider buying a Wii U, is it, Smash Brothers?
If maybe. I mean, I'd rather buy a Wii U over a PS4 or Xbox One at the moment.
Okay.
But then I don't really want to buy a Wii U, so no, I'm not going to buy one.
See, I really think there'll be a big price cut for the Wii U sometime this year. I think with Nintendo's sales figures, they have to do something. And I think they've got a press briefing on the 30th.
Drop the gamepad.
Drop the gamepad, get rid of the gamepad.
Just get rid of it, get rid of it.
Kind of defeats the object of the Wii U.
Yeah, I said it before launch to get rid of it, and I still stand by it now. Get rid of it.
Yeah, it's no point, really.
Yeah.
Zombie U is really the only thing I've played that even really made a case for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really been nothing.
But it's because still only look at one screen at once.
Well, they've kind of given up on it too, so they might as well just get rid of it.
Yeah,
now.
In Mario Kart, you've got a horn. Excellent.
that's next gen, Shane. Don't diss it.
Microsoft Surface, that's what they're going to have on their Gears Racer.
They're going to have a horn on Forza.
Take your hand off the pad to touch the Surface screen.
Yeah. Game changer.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. It really wouldn't surprise me if there was a Gears Racer now.
And you get that horrible word immersion used as if the video game's some sort of liquid you can fall into.
You have a bath
yeah.
in this video game.
Forza bath.
Right. Okay. Back to you, Calvin. What is your next pick?
Yeah, I probably don't have that many either, outside of what was on our sites list, so we could double over. But, let's see what...
Shall I step in here, then?
Yeah, go for it, Shane, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do two in a row. So
cheating.
Yeah, I'm going to get these done. So, firstly, Hotline Miami 2.
Okay.
I'm not big on sequels, and this sequel attempts to do nothing different with the formula, and it's great, from what I've played. So it's just as tight as before, ultra fast paced, soundtrack was absolutely bang on. So yeah, that's definitely what I'm looking forward to for people, if anyone that didn't play it. Did it come out on the PS3? Or is it going to come out on PS3?
Did it come out on the Vita as well?
Yeah. So it's kind of like a top down, pixelated neon kind of late 80s, early 90s kind of blown out visuals. Where you get telephone calls telling you to go to certain places and smash people's heads in. And that's essentially the story. And then the combat is you go to a level. If you get shot or stabbed, you're dead, which is nicely realistic. And then it has the Super Meat Boy, you know, no countdown, that loop, that continuous, you start again, you start again, you start again, you start again. And it's just a great game. And one of the things that I really appreciated about the first one is the way that it constantly flipped the kind of excessive, over-the-top, enjoyable nature of virtual violence to the reality of what you've just done.
Mm.
So a lot of the time, the first one, you would blast through a level with this like excellent soundtrack, smash a load of people in, there's just bits of people everywhere, and then when you finish, it just changes to like this little throbbing drone as you have to walk back through like this house of people you've just killed because you got a phone call asking you to do it, which obviously becomes part of the story. The first one kind of split off at the end, and you could figure out what was really happening. But the second one establishes the kind of correct ending, as it were, or who actually made it, and carries on as canon. So it's more of the same. Looking forward to that. And then the last one, the second one I'm going to say now, is the best game I played at Eurogamer, which is going to be Titanfall.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely number one anticipated game of the year. Call of Duty 4 was a revelation when it came out, and it's easy to knock the series now, but that was such a bloody good game. And this plays very similar to that, but not with it just feeling like another Call of Duty. There's been a bit of concern that it's 6v6. I'm not sure why that's come about, because it was never not 6v6. The demos I played, I'm pretty sure, were 6v6. Everything's fine. But because somebody put a low number down on a piece of paper, some people that haven't played it yet have had a little hissy fit.
Just think about the
That's only an issue because of internet culture.
Just think the structure of the game with your titans. How many do you really want out there, right?
Exactly. And look back at stuff like Counter-Strike and Quake. You know, when it was decent games, it would be 4-on-4, 6-on-6, 3-on-3, 2-on-2, you know. The lower numbers you've got, imagine a MOBA with 40 people aside, it would be rubbish. You need a small amount of people so that your actions matter.
Mm.
And that's the whole point of what happens here. And it's not... I think people are going to be surprised. They'll pick it up, and a lot of people say, oh, it plays like Call of Duty 4, which is kind of like, it feels like a natural progression from that point rather than the rest of the series. Like, it's actually developed upon it rather than just recycled.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when people play it, they'll find that, but they'll also find that the way they've built it works really well. And the wall running and the way you have the titans and the smaller amount of classes they've got. I mean, when I played it, there was three titans. I think there might be four. And there's only three classes. And it just seemed like they had, rather than having a million different types of kill streaks, they just narrowed everything back down to the kind of distilled it down to the core again. And it was just amazing.
That was an
alpha like 6-7 months ago. So they'll still be working on it. I'm sure it'll only get tighter.
Mm. I get the impression that they are really going for balance with that game.
Yes.
They're really trying to make it really fine-tuned, balance-wise.
Mm-hmm.
The whole 6v6 being a controversy, I really think that is only because of internet culture and people like to complain about things.
Once you play it, you kind of know why it is that
yes.
way. You start seeing the AI.
Exactly, yeah.
It's very full. There's nothing missing from it.
Mm-hmm.
The only important factor there is that the developers have come out and said it's not 6v6 because of a technical limitation. It's 6v6 because of that's where our design works.
Yes.
That's the only thing you need to know, and there's no discussion anymore.
Yeah, and when you play it, you'll understand exactly why they've done it. And going back to what you said, Calvin, about the AI, is I think there's some confusion about the terms of bots. I think some people think that it's 6v6, but then you have an extra six people aside that are the same as you running around AI controlled, and it's not quite like that. It's more built out like a campaign within the mission. So it opens up like a mission structure and you walk out and there'll be little guys on your side running around with guns, the same height, but it's cannon fodder, like a COD, it's like Call of Duty 4 AI. And like a dropship will come down on the other side of the map and drop 20 people in, and they'll just run forward as a gang, and you just blow them away and get your experience for it.
Because they're giving you these guys just to, you know, you just chew right through them, but then the actual player battle's in the Titans. That's where the real battle is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the challenge will be. But I agree, there's like an entry point, and it feels like the next step for multiplayer, like how to build it into an actual experience.
Yes, and I'm really glad they've not bothered with a campaign.
Yeah.
The way they've built this, I think it's going to work perfectly for them. And I think it'll be a massive hit when it comes out.
It seems like such a focused game.
Yes.
Focusing on this one thing, but it's going to do this one thing amazingly well.
We've just talked honestly about the games we've mentioned and some of the kind of possible downfalls. And I think the only one this will have is not the game itself, but will be the port to the 360, which I've not seen anything of. And if that's going to be one of the biggest places people are going to see it, I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know if someone's going to port it and it's not going to be as good, and then a lot of people are going to be thinking, what's all the hype about? So that seems like a strange... I know why they've done it, because the market share for the 360 could be massive for people that could try and hook in.
Yeah, that's a good way to get people to upgrade if you put out a shitty version on old consoles.
But you're always going to have a portion of people that don't realise that it's shitty because of that. And it's just more, it's like the EA and stuff, it doesn't matter because they've sold, but against that, the Titanfall name and Respawn, they've had enough bother in the past, and it'd just be a shame. I think the Xbox One and PC versions, you know, will be spectacular. I just don't, until I see it, I'm not sure what the quality of that 360 port will be.
Okay, well, I think that's going to be a common choice throughout our entire website and everyone in the industry who's looking forward to things. So, Calvin, have you thought of another game? Anything else you're looking forward to?
Well, I mean, really, this year is going to be about stuff we haven't really seen a lot of. So for me, it's about games I don't have so much to say about. But, I mean, there's Sunset Overdrive, D4, Middle-Earth. I'm very excited.
The only thing about
D4
is it's exclusive to the Xbox One, and that is a pain in the arse.
Well,
it's a Kinect game as well, Shane.
I don't mind about that.
You don't mind.
If they fund it, then it's okay. I don't have a problem with that.
I'm glad he's getting to do the work. It's just I'll never get to play it.
Never, but, ever.
Well, I'm not buying it. No.
I don't really mind Swery working around with Kinect. I feel like he has enough unique ideas. I think he has so much personality behind what he does that he'll kind of make it like a subversive thing. It doesn't have to be a really dumb gimmick or something.
Yeah, I remember from all the press things he was talking about, it was always the thing of it that he wanted it to be so that you could eat popcorn while you played it. So that you didn't have to bother with control, you could just sit there eating snacks. And
like
now and again, just raise your hands up.
I like that. That's a cool idea. His game design, but nobody else thinks that way. That's why he has to make this game.
It's like, I'm going to sit here and play test what we've done, and I need to be able to eat enough popcorn between each scene. I'm going to count it. Yeah, definitely D4. If I had that console, that would be possibly be joint first, just because of obviously Deadly Premonition and working on from that. The guys, that's a definitely unique angle on things and way of seeing things, and I hope that carries over into this work he's doing and keeping that sort of character, which it seems to be doing.
Oh yeah, the trailer seems great. Like the characters in it are ones that I've never seen in a game before. They're so eccentric and kind of a little bit queer, but like in a really fun way.
Yeah, and, it's kind of that exaggerated, overblown look, and then the thing being that they end up actually having really serious stories is usually the which I expect being his way of looking at things.
Yeah, it's a weird mixture of comedy and drama.
Yeah.
Which was what defined Deadly Premonition to a certain extent.
Definitely.
And I guess Sunset Overdrive, I mean, it's pretty self-descriptive. If you look at it, it's fucking beautiful. And if they could match how that looks, I'd get an Xbox One just for that. But
I'm guessing the small snippet that they showed off last year's E3 was CGI?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I just want it to be that so much. But, you know, last time that we wanted them to match their visuals, we got Views.
It looked like Sunset. That's the one that looks like a Dreamcast game, isn't it? But now
Views. What?
It really does.
Not Views. Sunset Overdrive.
It kind of looks like a Jack Grand Radio, which is probably my favorite game of all time.
Yeah, super colorful, super bold colors, really bright.
Yeah, it's cool. Just it's artistic, you know. I want people that are doing vivid, interesting looking things too. I think we don't get enough of that.
Yeah,
I think we get a lot of grim, dark bullshit, and I think that stuff's easy to make, you know. But I just like people to do artistic stuff too.
I think with the start of I guess we'll just say the start of a new generation, to keep the term simple, is that you get an increased chance of new IP and those sort of things happening. So I think this would be this year, next year's. If we're going to get that stuff, that's when it's going to happen on a bigger budget scale, anyway.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason that I wanted new consoles. I couldn't give a shit about having a new PS4 or Xbox or whatever. I just wanted new ideas, and they're already paying off. So.
Yeah, definitely. Fantastic. Okay, well, the last game next game on my list that I'm going to bring up is The Last Guardian, which is a bit of a dodgy choice, to be honest, because who the hell knows what's going on with this game at the moment.
It's like a joke choice.
The Duke Nukem Award for most anticipated game of the year goes to...
How long's it been in development now?
Oh, God. 6 years, I want to say. 7 years? Okay. I don't know. 6 years. I think it's probably 6 years since we heard about it.
What have they done? Have they scrapped it twice? Or do we not know?
Nobody knows. Nobody has any idea. All they keep on saying that they are still developing it, and... Fumito Ueda, the guy, the head guy at Team Ico, left Sony, I think, about 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half ago. But he's still working on the game as a contractor for Sony. So all kind of messages that come out of Sony indicate that it is still in development and they are still working on it, but nobody quite knows. Well, obviously some people know, but I don't know exactly what's happened to the game, whether it's been totally scrapped, whether they're actually porting it to PS4 and it's going to be a big PS4 game, whether it's on PS Vita, who the hell knows? I don't know. But I am at least very excited to hear what is going on with it, whether that's definitive, no, we're not going to bring it out, or yes, it is coming out, it's coming out tomorrow. It's free for all PlayStation Plus subscribers. Here you go. Which would be fantastic. But yeah, that's been one of my most anticipated games for the past few years, for the past 5-6 years, as long as I've known about it, because I loved Team Ico's games on the PS2. They're some of my favourite games ever. So super excited to hear about it, but who knows? It could go either way.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll hear you say that again next year then.
Yeah, probably. it's gonna sit alongside Half-Life 3.
I feel like there's a lot there that needs to come through.
I think they've said too many times that it is happening for it not to happen.
No. Well, we can't not get another Team Ico game. That would be devastating.
Yeah, exactly. What kind of a world would that be?
Half-Life 3 will. Following what happened with Half-Life 2, didn't they try and release that on a day without people knowing, and it was only because of the leak beforehand that ruined it?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I remember the leak being a big thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think that people didn't really know about it. It wasn't announced. So I wouldn't be surprised if they really are aiming to do that with 3. Mm. Or that they're just going to get into the Duke Nukem territory of, oh, that's a good idea, let's put that in. Oh, that's a good idea, let's put it in. Oh, actually, let's put it out on consoles and just scrap half of what we've done.
This is a rabbit hole that we could go down right now.
Like, so, the day the Steam box comes out, it'll just be preloaded on that.
Yeah. The icon will say a different game, though. Minesweeper 2.
Right.
There you go. Thunderbolt Games, Dark Souls, Half-Life 3 Conspiracy Theories. Very easily what this podcast could turn into.
I wonder if it actually is. I try and think about that place, Wicked and Valve, and what happens. Because the way they explain stuff is, if you want to work on something when you're there, you just kind of got to go and do it.
So there's probably one guy in Valve saying, please, come on, somebody come and work on Half-Life 3 with me. I've nearly got it finished. And everyone's like, screw that, we don't care about that.
We're making spent 4 years on this lighting engine and it's out of date now. Come on.
Ridiculous. They must be so tired of hearing about it, you know, like, I mean, they must like really appreciate that people have that much passion for their product, but
yeah,
they must be like, just enjoy our other stuff too, please.
Yeah, I get it. Like, my theory is, if I'm going to throw my theory into the ring, there's one or two things happening. Either they're genuinely not making it and they really don't give a shit about everyone saying they really want Half-Life 3 because they just got tired of making Half-Life games and there's no one there who wants to make it.
Hmm.
Or they are making it, but they're waiting for a big enough technological leap to be able to facilitate a big enough gameplay change. Because you saw how the leap between Half-Life 1 and Half-Life 2, they focus on that, like, that technology change, like the facial animation technology, the gravity gun, things like that. And that really changed the game in a significant way. And I kind of get the impression they're waiting for technology to advance to a point where they can introduce some new things that are going to change the game again.
Yeah, remember, like, those tech demos, that was like a stage of the next, that's like when the new generation had started with Half-Life, so I think it's like a generational marker, and we're going to get it, but it probably needs to be soon if we're going to get it, otherwise it'll probably be next gen.
Because they've just announced that new game, haven't they, instead of Left 4 Dead 3 that everyone thought was going to come out, which the name just escapes me. I want to say Evolve, but I don't think it is.
Oh, come on, Shane. It's clearly a code name for Half-Life 3.
Oh, no, no. It's been announced, hasn't it, properly? It's that one where there's a team of four of you and there's like a massive alien and the other player plays the alien.
And this is a Valve game?
Yeah.
From the Left 4 Dead guys. I don't think it's Valve.
Is it not? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know anything else about it, really, but it seems like a cool concept.
Yeah. Fantastic. So, okay, so to wrap this up, anyone else got any other games that they just want to reel off as a list to let people know that they're excited about them?
No, I think we've listed enough.
Yeah,
that'll keep you busy, yeah. that'll keep you skinned for the year.
Just check out the on-site list. There's plenty there if you want to see.
I've got to say, ones that I didn't write about for the on-site list that I wish that I had wrote about, there's Quadrilateral Cowboy, the new Blendor Games game. Looks super quirky, fantastic. Mugenics, the new Team Meat game, made by the guys who made Super Meat Boy.
Yeah, that sounds like some sort of weird Pokemon, Tamagotchi thing. It's like all sorts of that game.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just excited about how different it sounds, to be honest.
What is it doing? What's the game
about? It's
cats. It's kind of like...
It's cats.
a crazy cat owner simulator, and you're some kind of weird genetic scientists, and you're performing experiments on your cats, but you also have to look after them as well. It sounds really quite strange, but that's why it sounds kind of interesting.
It's something to do with breeding cats, and they do poos and stuff.
Can't wait.
I think it is like Tamagotchi. It must be.
Yeah.
It looks like it. Either that or it'll be something totally different. It'll be cruel and very dark-humoured somehow.
Yeah, I get the impression it will be. It's Team Meat, mm-hmm. Come on. Yeah. In a weirdly comical way, like dark black humour.
You're better for dogs. There you go.
You're more of a dog person, Shane.
Oh, definitely.
I'm kind of equal. I don't have a preference. I like both. Okay, I'm also looking forward to The Witness, Jonathan Blow's new game, because it's Jonathan Blow's new game, and I'm interested to see what Jonathan Blow's new game is.
Is that a game by Jonathan Blow?
It might be a game by Jonathan Blow. I hope it's by Jonathan Blow. Who knows? I'm also looking forward to hearing about the new Zelda. I'm a sucker for the Zelda games. The series has become tired. Yeah, definitely has, but I hope that they can rejuvenate it like they have with the handheld games. The latest 3DS Zelda was fantastic, so I hope that they take some of the lessons they've learned from that and transfer them to the console Zelda and make it something quite different.
Yeah, from getting a 3DS for Christmas, there is a bunch of games that I need to catch up on that, and I think that's going to take up most of my time. And Zelda
definitely
is on that list.
Definitely.
After Animal Crossing, which is next.
Oh, man. What are you doing?
That'll be a black hole or a colourful rainbow hole or whatever it is.
That's your 2014 made there. Like,
I think it might be, yeah.
The first half of your 2014 is just going to be Animal Crossing, Shin. You don't have time for anything else.
And I've got that 999 to play as well, because I've heard a lot about it.
Okay, fantastic. I've got to say, I'm looking forward to like little iPhone games that come out. Like Simogo, the Swedish developers, they make fantastic iPhone games. They make some of my favourite games. And just anything that they put out, I will be there on day one, anticipating it, excited about it.
Last year, they're really getting better every time, with that Year Walk and Device 6.
Yeah, oh, such creative games that really... The thing about Simogo that I always blows me away is that they know how to utilise that platform to its fullest. Right. They know how to get the most out of it. They know how to make something that is super intuitive with like touchscreen controls or tilt controls or whatever you can use the iPhone for.
Yeah, once I played Beat Sneak Bandit, I don't know what it was about it, but you could just tell that they're a crazy talented team.
They're super talented. Yeah. So I'm excited about what they're putting out, and I'm excited about a whole load of games that I can't even think of now off the top of my head.
The only thing I'm not looking forward to, unfortunately, well, I would be looking forward to some new cave shoot-em-up games, except for the fact that they have now shut down all their Western-facing stuff. So it looks like they're going back to Japan only for all their games, which is shit, because it was finally getting stuff ported over to the Xbox.
You listening, Cave?
Even iOS, some of the stuff they did there is great, and now I think they've just soldered it all off and gone, no, we'll just go back to Japan again.
Yeah, I mean, all the old shoot 'em up devs, they're all pretty much dead now. It's pretty depressing.
It seems weird. Rising Star Games over here were releasing the stuff. It was getting kind of its own little niche market.
Yeah.
But just put it out on PC. Christ's sake.
Just make some new games. It's not hard, really. That's all I really want.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to get that either.
I'm tired of re-releases and playing old shooters. I just want new ideas like Resogun and, you know, any new ideas.
Resogun was alright.
Yeah.
I just want Doom Piano.
That was top.
Come with a little little keyboard peripheral.
Broken MIDI keyboard.
Yeah. A few keys missing.
Oh god, I'll buy that.
Fantastic. So anyone got anything else?
No, I think that'll wrap it up.
To be honest, I've got to say, just to finish this off, I've been lying the entire podcast. They aren't my most anticipated game. My most anticipated games are the ones that I know nothing about, and they're going to come out of left field and blow me away. Because if I look at my like end of year lists every year, and then I reflect on what I was actually looking forward to at the start of the year, they never match up. Like, the best games at the end of the year are always those ones that surprise me and take me by surprise and come out of nowhere and just jump up and are absolutely incredible. So I'm looking forward to those more than anything.
Absolutely. Sure.
Cool. Okay, so that's it for episode 44. If you want to let us know what your most anticipated games are of this year, then head on over to thunderballgames.com and check out the forums, or contact us on Twitter @_thunderbolt, or email us at podcast@thunderballgames.com. So from me, it's goodbye, and from Shane,
goodbye,
and from Calvin,
bye.